You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yes, baby. Did I do it? Did I do it right? I got it right, right?
Yeah, baby!
Whoa, that's it. Alexis has exhausted all of his energy.
Yes, baby.
That was a mosquito killer.
Yeah, hopefully.
I feel like I challenged the alpha, and he came back hard.
I had to wait for the laughter to die. I gasped for air to do it, and then you go, yes, baby. I was like, son of a, oh yeah, we can curse on this one, son of a bitch.
Welcome to part two of the listener question episode out here in the District of Columbia.
The District of Colombia.
Colombia. We're changing it now.
That's right.
Okay.
You guys will get arrested for that in this city.
we're here sitting amongst kilos.
We got nothing but work.
We're wrapping kilos of ice cream.
That is true.
Yeah, it's mostly ice cream and beer. So to be honest,
we've all gained kilos from eating ice cream for sure.
We're putting
ice cream in condoms and shoving it up our butts.
Okay. This is a slightly different show than the first one we just did.
I literally did that just for Daryl. Be like, say whatever you want,
the
dude.
The tone is a little different on this episode. If you want to hear a much cleaner version of this conversation, you will have heard or you should listen to part one on Total Soccer Show, where we take a lot of questions from our listeners. And this is part two, and we're going to take a couple.
Yeah, and it's a crossover episode. We do this whenever we're with Total Soccer Show, and it's one of our favorite goddamn things. So, of course, we're doing it at 1 in the morning. We're all a little drunk.
As is tradition.
We're full of ice cream.
Also tradition.
And Ethiopian food. And wait till that combination mixes up and comes out, boy.
I'm especially excited for the fact that there's one bathroom. That should be terrific.
Well, I'm pooping in a bucket. All right.
I'm setting an early alarm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's get the first question of part two. This is from Caleb Cook. He says, if you could clone any U.S. player to play all 11 positions.
Tyler Adams.
He may be playing all 11 positions by the end of his international career.
Berhalter's going to put him everywhere. Yeah. He might be a ball kid at some point. If you could clone any U.S. player to play all 11 positions.
Tyler Adams.
Who would it be and why? And for Caleb, he says, it's Dempsey. So.
Ooh.
Okay, which says,
I can't imagine Dempsey being a goalkeeper.
Oh, so we're going like, I'm assuming that means,
Starkland.
I'm assuming that means like Dempsey. Any player ever.
I think anybody,
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, that changes things.
I mean, some people.
That doesn't change things, Tyler Adams.
He's like, well, I mean, you're opening up to the whole world still, Tyler Adams. Yeah. You mean for the first time we ever played soccer to now, Tyler Adams?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who's
Darryl, do you have somebody?
You drafted Claudio Reyna once as a right back in one of our shows.
Bruce Arena played him as a right wing back.
But that's my point.
Mexico, and we won.
So you could play on the like right back.
Yeah.
Defense.
Well, right wing back or attacking midfield or central midfield.
Yeah.
You kind of run out. Like once he's playing centre back, Claudio Reyna.
Oh, you know who does play right back, but then also centre midfield. Do you guys know? It's Tyler Adams.
Oh, I
don't know
if
you knew
that
or not.
That was the name I was going to say.
Was he only cleaner?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Do you have somebody?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of who do I have as much trust in the front as I do like in the back? And I don't know.
We're still talking about soccer. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for whatever reason, the only name that comes to my head of somebody who's like courageous enough and you could to play every position, but for whatever reason, Clint Mathis comes to mind.
Whoa.
Of just somebody who's like, you know, dude had like a mohawk and was just like a great scorer, just like an intense person. Like I feel like whoever should be this kind of human being, it would have to be someone very, very intense. So Clint Mathis is the one that comes to mind.
I thought you were going
to
say Freddie Adu, to be completely honest.
I really do think Tyler Adams is like my front runner answer. But I think the other one that I've just stumbled upon that I think could probably do a lot of different positions and has is DeMarcus Beasley. And I think he could be an attacker. I could see him playing in goal. Why not?
Multiple ages. Have you seen that new Will Smith trailer, Gemini?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's where like old Will Smith is fighting young Will Smith. We could do that with DeMarcus Beasley. You could have like 2002 DeMarcus Beasley on the wing and 2014 DeMarcus Beasley at left back.
There is a 100% chance that movie was greenlit with the sentence that you just said. Old Will Smith fights young Will Smith. Like, done.
You're like, here's a check for $400 million.
I imagine it was more like, what if DeMarcus Beasley, but fighting in a movie? It was pitched by DeMarcus Beasley.
You were looking in desperation at Christian Polacco to bail you out of that.
Understand what I was saying?
Buy my film, please. Yeah. This is all I have left.
My wife is going to leave me any second if I don't get this deal.
I owe a lot of bad people money. My answer is Ali Krieger.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
I think she has clearly she's a great defender. She showed multiple times along the wing that she has the capability to play midfield. And like we said when we interviewed her, I think she's got the skill to score. So screw it, Ali Krieger.
Did it say U.S. men's national team? Or did it say U.S. national team.
It just said U.S. So oh, okay. No,
wow. No, no, trying to find a technicality.
Okay. Next up, this is from Matteo Dante, who was at the show today.
Yeah, right. Matteo.
All right, he's an Atlanta United fan, but lives in D.C. and he came out to the show. So he says, lots of discussion about the U.S. men's national team midfield lately. Is there a role for Nagby? Could he be a Bradley replacement?
No,
not a Bradley replacement. That's the wrong position. He would be more like maybe the Christian Pulisic replacement, so a more creative number 10.
Okay.
Or if you want to ask too much of Nagby, maybe you make him the McKennie replacement, where he's like half number 10, half number 8, and goes up and down. In fact, it's probably more that one. That's where he would end up playing.
Well, I really like the idea of the Klinsmann route of just put him randomly on either wing at various points. I don't see how that could not go right again.
What do you think that him playing in the game against Trinidad that the U.S. men lost? I feel like he hasn't really been called up that much ever since, and
possibly never again.
Yeah, really? I don't think he was in the January camp, was he?
Sarakin never called him up, and he wasn't in January camp, and there were rumors that it was because Atlanta had CONCACAF Champions League.
Okay.
So maybe that's why Gazan wasn't there, and that's why Nagby wasn't there. But also, they haven't been there since, right? So
yeah.
I don't know if that was like a convenient excuse at the time. Oh, Atlanta's got a Champions League. But it's more like Berhalter being like, yeah, but I don't want to call this guy.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me because he's still playing pretty well, and as far as like the other
but
options,
there was all the issues. Like he wanted to leave Atlanta, and he was almost traded.
But that has nothing to do with the national
team.
No,
but like he clearly is. I think he's clearly been going through shit.
Okay, it's clear to Alexis. we can't debate that.
So next question.
I will say this: it does feel like if things don't get like better with the U.S. men's national team in fairly quick like order, I do think Nagby and Acosta, Kellen Acosta, will be like the new Benny Failhoppers of like, why don't they get called in? They're so good. Yeah. Why aren't they involved? And maybe Paxton Pomacall if he doesn't get thrown in there too.
No, that can't not.
We'll see what happens. I said that mostly to upset Daryl because
he's too young and too good.
Also, he is.
Pomacall.
I feel like that's the player that you would have picked, Daryl. If you could build your
position?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of harsh if he's never played for the full senior team.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Okay, next up. This is from Dave Roberts. He says, he has two questions. He says, what causes either podcasting team to be curled up on the floor in the fetal position?
Oh, I have an actual answer to that.
Is that crying or laughing?
It doesn't matter what, I don't know, it doesn't matter what emotion, but what makes you crawl, like get into the fetal position? Like what gets you to that point? Obviously something bad, right? You're not in the fetal position, you know, because you won a lottery. That's not a thing, right?
So what scares us the most?
Essentially, yeah. And the second question is, do you like waffles?
Yes. I'll answer that one. Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Fetal position?
I'm pro waffles. Fetal position, I think, is if we record a show and the file somehow gets corrupted.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Or messes up and we're like, we've spent an hour recording this thing. We've put all the work into it. And it is literally unsalvageable, right? There's
sure.
no amount of things you can do with Adobe Audition that will bring that thing back to life. It is just gone. And we either have to record again or go home empty-handed.
People starting a podcast, you're thinking about starting a podcast, sound check. Very, very important. So when you haven't changed it from built-in audio to like USB audio codec, so and you record off your laptop, and then it sounds awful.
That's even worse, right?
Yep.
If we've done everything right, but that somehow the software has gone wrong,
mm-hmm.
then that's just the software's fault, right?
Yep.
But if it's our fault and we screwed up the audio and it's been recording through the through the computer and not through the mic or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then went after the decision, do we try and salvage this really bad audio with a good conversation? Or do we do the whole thing again?
Yeah.
I mean,
fetal position every time.
It's happened to us a couple times.
So many goddamn times.
We used to do the FIFA the News, where we would play FIFA against each other while I read the news.
Because he's better than me.
We would talk about news stories while we were playing FIFA.
Soccer news or just the news?
Soccer news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, it should be just soccer news. It should be real news, right?
Like
real
political,
serious.
Four people got shot today. Oh.
You would tune into that 6 o'clock hour for news.
My parents visited detention centers and pretended they're okay. Oh, you missed that shot.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
God, those poor kids. Go!
My fear would be that I get so focused on the game that it would be some horrific bit of news, and I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'd just be like so focused on trying to win that I wouldn't be able to respond to that.
It's a YouTube series that we do. They're still up there. You can check them out. But
yeah, check them out. They were fun.
I've not seen those. I really will go watch them.
Oh, yeah, they're really
super fun.
So when we started doing them, it was like it was probably about a year into doing the podcast, and we were like, we got to also start doing video stuff and things like that. And
this was our plan to take down Copa 90. Was agreeing.
Wait, it went on to
yeah. We quit the show and they got. So
I had just like gotten a camera. I was like figuring everything out, and one of the big issues was like the camera that I have that we use now was like it would just stop recording.
It would overheat.
It would overheat or something like that. You just couldn't have it on for too long. And we would play a full game of FIFA, have like great stories, and have just crush it, and then. Nothing. And then just
you can't repeat it, right?
You can't repeat
it. You can't fake it. And it's happening in the moment.
Exactly. And we would try, and it's just like, and then not only on top of that, it's just like you're exhausted.
Expended all this energy, hamming it up for the camera, and now there's nothing there.
So fetal position.
Yeah. That,
probably for me was recently when now that we're in a studio and we have a producer, he sent us the audio file and the video file, and he was like, hey, a few minutes in the beginning were lost. Sometimes we'll just sort of chatting in the beginning while it's recording before we actually like get to the show. So I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. And he's like, well, it's not really the beginning. It's maybe a little in the middle, but it's fine. It's only like a minute or two of no audio. And we're like, oh, okay. I mean, that's not a good thing, but I'm sure it's fine. It was 9.5 minutes.
It was 9.5 minutes
of audio completely gone from our show.
Yeah.
And they stopped doing the backup. They would put like a thumbnail on the board for us. Just in case, and they stopped doing that. So there was just nothing. There was no proof. 9.5 minutes. And we had like, was like one joke that you and I went back and forth on that was like so good. And I was like, as long as we have that, we're fine. And literally the moment it begins is when the audio drops. Just 9.5 minutes of riffing gone.
Yeah. Maybe COVID 19 were coming back at you.
I did see a long-haired man with a shoulder pad and a Carmen San Diego hat. Pushing a stroller.
Do you remember? I'm trying to remember, which is probably why I've been quiet for a minute here. I was like recently, literally in the fetal position, and I can't remember why. Because my answer was going to be the only time that you and I have ever been like very, very depressed and quiet in the studio was when the U.S. failed to qualify. But there was one recently.
Oh, I think you told me about it. It's when you realized you'll never be me. Was that?
That was definitely the one. That was it. I want to talk about pizza.
And then it was like, this is a joke.
I think it may have been the commentary. Some of the commentary in the Women's World Cup might have forced me to the fetal position. I think what it was.
That's something that would have put us all.
And I don't want to name names, but it might have been PJ somebody. Put it that way. PJ Melodimro. How about that?
PJ Hub.
PJ Carlissimo. She's getting choked by
there were moments in this World Cup where he clearly was just like, whatever, I'm here. Like, it was just sort of he got asked a couple questions during one game and was just like, what? Anyway, like he really just had no time for it. And
you know,
it made me really uncomfortable.
I don't really get bugged by the announcing, or it doesn't really bother me, even if it's
I just zone out. I can zone it out.
Yeah, even if it's bad or whatever, like it unless it's absolutely egregious, I'm not nitpicking the commentary.
No,
much.
You and I have talked about, was that the kid, the Cantor kid? Is it Nico Cantor?
Yeah. From
the kid. Oh my God. That guy's voice.
Sure.
He talks about stuff that's not even happening on the
Mas,
field.
I think. He's a Unimas guy.
He's gotten better. But when he started, We couldn't watch it. We'd be like, where's the sad button? We'd have to change it or watch it on mute. I could not watch this man call a game.
Is his dad Andres?
His dad's Cantor. Famous and for being really good at this.
And he just happened to get a job.
Yeah, it's like it's happen. Like putting...
It's like, who knows why? Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's like putting Michael Jordan's kid... Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, next up. This is from Stanley Heimenberg. Says, how will Christian Pulisic fare in year one at Chelsea? What's the upside look like? What's the downside look like?
Lampard is his coach. This is a huge mistake. Please go back to Germany.
Have you heard what Lampard said?
No.
So yeah. Lampard said, to start the season, Willian and Pedro are my wingers. And Christian Pulisic and Mason Mount, who is a young-ish kid who was on loan at Derby, I think where Lampard was coaching last year, will split time at number 10. So that's the situation, right?
So Christian Pulisic will never play a game in a Chelsea shirt.
No, but actually reasonably encouraging, right? He's like third-choice winger because Hudson-Odoi is injured, right? So he's not going to be able to play for a good while. So he's third-choice winger. Willian and Pedro are not young guys, so there'll be spots there. And he'll split time with Mason Mount. And I want to say, based on the little I've seen of Mount, that Pulisic's a better player. So the upside is he becomes an established first team player, right? Even if Chelsea don't do well, Pulisic establishes himself and it's impossible to shake out of that Chelsea team.
Well, they have the like a transfer ban, right? Or something. There's like a couple issues.
Also that, yeah. They will not be signing any new players.
He should be able to secure a spot because nobody else is coming in.
See, that's actually what makes me more nervous because that's my... I think maybe I'm a little bit more pessimistic about like Americans abroad because I feel like it's safer to be negative and then when it works out, you're pleasantly surprised. But I feel like because they can't sign anybody, well, let's put it this way. Frank Lampard's coming in. They're not going to turn on Frank Lampard, at least not right away. Like he's club legend. He's going to get a ton of leeway. Like look at Solskjaer when they go on the winless streak and everyone's like, yeah, but it's still Ole Gunnar. It's fine. So I feel like no one's going to blame him. They can't sign players. So then it's going to look at like, they're not going to blame Callum Hudson-Odoi or something like that. I feel like it will end up being the one player they signed for a lot of money. If he's not Eden Hazard, I feel like it's easy to be like...
That's the problem, right? The massive downside will be if he's compared unfavorably to Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be my downside.
And he's American, so the moment he even slightly fails, they're going to dance all over that grave, so...
But when he doesn't and scores a million goals, then we'll all be very happy.
A million goals. Mm-hmm. He'll be top scorer. Right?
Yep.
I'm assuming a shoe-in for Golden Boot.
Yes, yeah, so his foot will fit quite nicely in that Golden Boot. I like this question a lot. This is from Nicholas Sanders. He says, who would win the U.S. Women's National Team or Lyon? So this is a good question, and it made me think about... So I haven't watched Lyon very much, but I know that they are... the winningest team basically in Europe. They've won a lot of Champions Leagues. They are the PSG of like Ligue 1 for
except they win more than just
Ligue
1.
They're like the Barcelona.
Yeah.
But
this is Dan era Real Madrid.
Ooh, Galacticos.
Should we just let Christian finish the question before we keep speculating?
That is the question, but it made me think Kim McCauley, who always writes about Lyon and their success, but the reason they're successful is because the quality of play is so low in Ligue 1 and in Europe in general. So it's basically saying that the NWSL is the best women's league in the world.
Yeah, I think Kim makes the point that top to bottom NWSL is the best league, but then there's an argument over who's the best team. Right?
Okay.
The argument for maybe who's the best team could be Lyon. And that's why I like this question is instead of saying, would they beat the North Carolina Courage? Would they beat the U.S. women's national team is a much better question that I'm avoiding answering.
I'll answer. Well, I'll give you my answer, which is the U.S. wins. Because I think if you look at it, Lyon, I think, what, like 7 of the 11 for France?
Yeah,
their starters were from Lyon.
I was going to say the same thing.
You add in like Shanice van de Sanden, who I don't think had a very good tournament.
They have Nikita Paris now.
They do. Ada Hegerberg, who sat out for Norway, she's in there. But I still think that... Like, if you look at that from top to bottom, they're a little bit stronger, I think, than maybe even the French national team. But with that said, I think the U.S. still finds a way through because they found a way through so far with every team they've played.
And I guess the best evidence we have is the U.S. versus France.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing we've got to that matchup. Mm-hmm. And then the U.S. won that game.
Yeah, they did, very much so.
Just America.
But Lucy Bronze does play for Lyon.
Okay, so
that's what you're going with, huh?
I'm gonna ask some serious questions.
Is Jason Davis coming?
Sure. We blocked him. No, this is from Coach D. Jones, and this is He says, I mean, it's a poorly worded tweet, but I think we can figure out what it says.
Well, it came through, what, like 30 minutes ago, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, so.
Yeah, so.
Draw your own conclusions.
Yes.
So it says, basically, why, the question is basically, why are the Cooligans so anti-Castro?
Oh, because it's Fidel Castro. So I think that explains it all.
Why is TSS so pro-Castro?
Yeah, yeah. That's really why. Daryl does not speak for Total Soccer Show.
Also, why is this the end of the friendship between Cooligans? Let's see. He arrested my mother when she was a teenager and forced her in a hard labor camp for 2 years. So you tell me, my guy.
This is where, listeners, since you cannot see, Daryl did not know that fact. And his eyes got bigger than I've ever seen them.
I take back my joking Castro statement.
To even find if you were.
No, he is pro Alexis's mother being arrested.
Yeah. I don't know.
He does not labor.
Firing squads. There's no toilet paper on the island. There's no peppers on the island. And he's dead. Get over it.
Okay. A genuine question for you. How do you feel about, like, because I've heard a lot of people say, I may have even said, like, I want to go to Cuba before it gets, like, all westernized. Like, I want to visit it before, like, to see what it's like. Does that bother you, though? Because isn't that, like...
I love it when people say that. I can't wait to go there before there's just, you know, regular stuff for people to buy. I don't mind it. I just think all the travel money goes towards the mm-hmm. army. So anytime you go there and spend money, it's going to fund, not the people. So, you know, do whatever you want. Go if you want. I don't care. I don't care who you like and who you don't like. As long as you respect me, I don't give a shit. But at the end of the day, what do I hate Castro?
I don't believe a word you just said. No, I don't care who you like and who you don't
like. I'm
going
to judge the shit out of you.
I believe that as long as you respect me.
There we go.
Yeah. As long as you're nice to me, I don't care what you do to Daryl and Taylor. No, I think, you know, why don't you? Answer that fucking question. Don't ask me why I hate him. Tell me why you like him, and I'll shit all over it. Because I'm the one with a microphone.
To be fair, he may not like him. He may just be wanting you to... You know,
also, I mean,
when somebody says anti-Castro, I feel like they are pro. Yeah. Right? It's just like a very strange word.
Maybe he really loved the mafia in Cuba in the 1950s and really enjoyed them having control of the island. And
Batista.
Then, oh, God.
Have we ever been... really vehemently anti-Castro on our podcast?
How many times has Castro even really come up?
I don't think it's ever come up.
I mean, outside of the Ozzy Alonso, you know, celebrating, maybe that's why he doesn't know. There are people that have come along later in the Cooligans, you know.
The journey,
you know, the universe, the Cooligans, right? So they...
the expanded universe.
So sometimes people don't get the joke. That, I mean, it's like a long-running thing. Like, you have to, like, start at episode one. You got to binge listen to really understand everything.
You
got
to go pre-burrito gate to understand some of these things.
And Ozzy Alonso, basically that story is when Ozzy Alonso wins MLS Cup with the Seattle Sounders.
We sneak on the field.
Alexis goes up to him because he's the only other Cuban on the pitch.
And he's the captain.
And he goes, he takes a photo with him, and he goes, "Se murió Fidel," and he's celebrating that Fidel Castro had just died. So
what does that literally mean?
"Se murió Fidel" means Fidel is dead.
Okay.
Fidel died.
So this dude wins an MLS Cup, and then there's a random Cuban just being like,
just some dude yelling in the most Cuban accent.
Fidel's dead.
And I'm like, I'm slapping him on the chest. I'm like, Cuban just won MLS Cup. We're on our way, baby. Cuba's on his way. Fidel just died.
What if that's how he found out?
Oh, hilarious. No, I mean, he didn't die that day. He died, like, early in the week.
From MLS Cup, we just...
He just devastated. Also, I mean, to answer your question, if someone has to defect from a country, it's probably not that great of a country.
It might be defective. Oh, okay, let's go.
All right, irregular. You get a discount on this one. Yeah, this is what... When people get mad at me for bad pun, I'm like, come on, we all get some. That was yours. I get a few.
But I think I just want to, like, knock on a couple more. Alexis, real quick, since we've never heard you talk about it, pro or anti-Stalin? Real quick. Let's talk about it.
You know what? Honestly, I got to do more research.
You watched Fox Sports World Cup coverage.
That might have been the
fetal
position.
Say what you like about Stalin, but it's a real nice house he lived in.
Say what you will about Stalin, a man who killed 45 million people. Whatever, it's fine.
hey, it's his First Amendment right to murder as many people as
you. Yeah, if you retreat at any point, your own people will shoot you.
Okay, should we get some more questions?
Yes, we should ask some more questions. Okay, this one, back to the fun ones. This is, who would win? This is from Jerron Wright. He says, who would win in a fight, the Gully Squad or the Scouting Network?
This. All right, so would have to pick a side, because I think there's some overlap there.
I mean,
Scouting Network has been around longer, and I'm guessing there are more people in it because it's been around longer.
Would your 13 people be able to fight?
Gully
Squad. Gully Squad and Gully.
Those 13 people got weapons. Yeah. Right?
Also, they have us to train them. You know what I mean?
Our guys have done their research.
Yeah.
I think Gully Squad probably takes it. That's my guess.
Your guys are gonna have to print out those scouting reports and put it under their shirt as knife protection.
Mother son father daughter scouting teams.
Oh, we're taking those old ladies out, son. Because they're too busy watching young kids. We sneak up behind them and slice their throats, Gully.
Jesus Christ, the imagery is... I don't know if I want...
I've never been more happy this wasn't on our show.
I don't know if I want to be associated with the Gully Squad anymore.
I haven't said on this podcast what I think the English women should have done in sort of retaliation to the tea sipping celebration.
Wait, what do you
mean? You never heard this? What, my theory? I think I said it to you, and you were like, oh, God, no.
Oh, God. Oh, this is yesterday. I'm leaving the room. I know it's coming.
Is it that bad?
People were like, the English do something back, you know, from the tea sipping Alex Morgan thing. Yeah. And I'm like, what could they possibly do that has American culture attached to it? I was like, I don't know. What are they all going to sit there and mime a school shooting? How would you even choreograph that?
All right, and I'm back. Had to leave the room for that one. Did you not know that was coming?
You know what? Sometimes
he did say that the other day, right?
Sometimes
you workshopped it and you still went ahead.
Oh, buddy, I'm happy with the reaction.
Look, guys. Sometimes comedy is used to point out, you know, flaws in society.
It might seem insensitive.
It's more about the social ills.
I like that Christian is just the personification of damage control. Yeah. That's outstanding.
See, he's my press secretary. He comes out. He's like, look, I know what you've heard.
Okay. We maybe have time for two more. Okay. So this is another serious one. And we'll see. Okay. So this is from Jeff McDonough. He says, some folks are saying that Jalene Hinkle was left off the squad because she's Christian. Jill Ellis said it was purely a soccer decision. I believe Ellis... I believe Ellis. Heath is also Christian, but more inclusive. Care to dive into why Hinkle wouldn't fit in from an old on the field perspective? So, if you guys don't know about Jalene Hinkle, I'm the listeners.
Oh, you looking at me?
I'm not super condescending to the Total Soccer Show. Yeah.
They're not called the Partial Soccer Show. Condescending,
right? Yeah, I did it on purpose because of the thought that didn't know.
Can I just jump in and say that you know that you do that all the time? And I'm like, dude, I know what I you're was talking about. Yeah, but yeah, still.
I was waiting for you to point that out.
Yeah. Yes. No, Taylor, oh you God. And I.
All the time.
I'm the Taylor of this, and you're the Alexis of that podcast. And these two are pretty much even across the board.
Wait, with that in mind, I would have expected them to look at me to be like, do you know who that is?
So, Jalene Hinkle, the story basically, there was a game that was.
Why is she even playing soccer? She's going to have a show on Fox News. Look. Just get to it already. She's a hateful person.
Hold on, relax.
She's a non-progressive, hateful person. And I'll tell you why she wasn't a part of it. Because when they won, everyone's drinking champagne. What you gonna do, splash all the lesbians with holy water? That's what she would be spending her time trying to do. She's a terrible person.
Slow down, Alexis. That might be your opinion. But she basically did not want to wear the rainbow-colored numbers on one of the jerseys for a women's national team game. And it clearly, she became like essentially the black sheep of this team, and everybody was uncomfortable. And just she said it was for her religious beliefs, and she didn't believe. I mean, and it's realistically, it is difficult to play women's soccer and not come across a gay woman. Yep. Your thoughts on it?
I have the answer to this. So I think I have the definitive answer to this.
Sure.
Jill Ellis said it was a soccer decision. But I think, who asked the question?
This is Jeff McDonough.
I think Jeff is then interpreting that as like, is she too slow? Does that mean that she can't do step overs? Yeah. I think Jill Ellis says it's a soccer decision because she means that in terms of the harmony of the squad.
Yep.
Right. Okay. It's not a tactical decision. It's not a skills decision. It's a soccer decision because soccer is.
She uses a broad word.
She didn't want to say it directly because then it would cause a whole controversy. So you say a soccer decision to mean what we all know she means, right? Yeah. Which is that she would disrupt the team. But to not actually say that's why Gilles is a good tactician. Yeah, because she managed to thread that needle.
Sure. Echo, to like double down on your point, like you look at. Like, no disrespect, but like Ali Long is on that team because Ali Long is good chemistry.
Yeah.
She's
at the opposite reason of Jalen.
But that Gilella said was a soccer decision.
Yeah.
But like having good team chemistry, having good locker room chemistry,
yeah,
that's a soccer choice.
Significant.
You know?
It's significant, especially if you're gonna win a tournament like that has that high level of stress. And the other part is, why would you have someone on there? I mean, I don't understand why wearing a rainbow it goes against your religion. Well, it just doesn't make sense, especially when in that book that you use to suggest that you can't do that says that your husband could beat you with anything less thick than your thumb. So, I mean, we're really picking at straws here, which is something he can hit you with, by the way.
You got that from Boondock Saints, didn't you?
No, I know that because I went to Catholic school.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah. We were real close to mentioning Boondock Saints on the Total Soccer Show earlier with Nuno Espirito Santo.
That's the best terrible movie is Boondock Saints.
It's definitely a terrible movie.
Yeah. But it's so stupid. And for someone to come out and say that she's making it about her, that's not the type of person that's going to help you win a championship.
You saw the unity of the team, right? Mm-hmm. It was part of the World Cup experience was how this team was fully together and like super focused. And that's part of, it's a major reason they won the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. How much it would have ruined Ashlyn Harris's Instagram. Just totally. Had one lady in the corner sulking.
Yeah.
Why are you guys having too much fun?
Or when 22 players are celebrating the 18th goal against Thailand and you have one person not celebrating, that'd be terrible.
Right.
That would hurt morale.
Reading Deuteronomy.
But I want to jump in there to say though that like the one thing I take issue with that question is that I don't think it's that she was Christian, which I like. I myself am not particularly religious / at all, but like I don't think it was like, nah, she's one of them Christ people, so no thank you. Like I think it was more so, to Alexis's point, the
socially conservative is the polite way of putting it.
Sure, or homophobic, but I think that's what it comes down to. It's not that she was Christian.
Can you hear
it's
me
that,
put my finger on my nose for the word homophobic?
There are plenty of people, I forget who it was, a couple different people on Twitter pointed out that like Morgan Bryan is both Christian and conservative. She's still on that team. Like it's not necessarily about if you're religious, if you have certain political leanings, it's when those leanings influence the way you interact with other human beings that then messes up the locker room, but also sort of the feeling of probably the close knit bond that does form there. Because to your point, if you've got 22 and then one who sort of is like, I don't know if we can interact with her, that changes the whole dynamic.
Love the comments from Megan Rapinoe, where she was basically saying like no championship has ever been won without gay people and just being
Did you see the follow-up to it? That was my favorite one. When they were all, it was her, it was like, I think it was Rapinoe, Ali Krieger, and Ashlyn Harris, I think it was, and they all had their gold medals, and she just captioned it, told you. Which is my favorite thing.
No, I love the unapologetically gay message, you know?
Be you. Who cares? Be you.
Exactly. Okay, so last question. This is again from Stanley Heimenberg. He says, thoughts on the increase of interaction and games between Liga MX and MLS, good or bad?
Oh, good in the long run, if it leads to something really interesting, but bad in terms of the League's Cup.
The execution?
The execution this time around feels a little bit like, oh, last minute, put it together.
Yeah.
These teams can all play each other. If it was something real where like maybe the playoffs merged of the two leagues, like something that really meant something where a big trophy was on the line, I'd be all about it. Like a proper merging, a proper meeting. But when it's a random made up trophy that's put together at the last minute, it doesn't feel like it's worth getting excited about.
It does feel like pretty much like the last 15 years, they clearly want this. The owners want this. We had Dan Hunt on our show, and he was very vocal.
Dallas owner,
right? Yeah. He was, and people were kind of stunned. Where he was just like, "Yeah, I would love to see MLS and Liga MX be one league and merge and stuff like that."
Right.
Yeah. So they want this. All of these little competitions do feel like they are like sort of what you said, like this kind of, they're all testing the waters all the time and they can't like sort of get it right, and they're gonna keep trying. It's not going to stop.
I think all of this is just MLS trying to convince Liga MX to get rid of promotion and relegation, which Liga MX has already flirted with. I think that's what all this is. Show them how much money we're making. Show them, hey, if you play with us, look what happens. I think that's what all this is. That's why I don't.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. Oh, it's a real conspiracy. Yeah. I don't believe that this has anything to do with, you know, competing against Champions League, which I do think this is the closest chance we have to competing with Champions League. I don't know that that's it. I think this is all a chance of, like, let's get a bit more harmonious with the owners of Liga MX, and I think we could convince them to get rid of promotion and relegation. And if they do, they're on their way to sort of getting that off their back in America.
This is not a conspiracy thing, but Soccer United Marketing is heavily involved
in Mexico.
Yeah. They handle the promotion for the Mexican national team now.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it's in their interest. If their interest is just like make more money, like make it a better, a more thriving business.
I don't think you need to say if in that one, but sure.
But that's what they're going for, right? Yep. Then it's in their interest to get MLS and Liga MX closer together and kind of make more money that way.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Those are all the questions, guys.
We did it. We talked about politics.
Episode over.
Dude.
We talked about everything.
So how do we close the show?
Goodbye,
baby.
We say thank you to our guests for joining us. Thank you for letting us be on your show.
Go fuck yourself.
Nice.
Okay. This is that you know, when
you know, you let him curse once.
You let him, you know, the leash is a little too long. You know what I'm saying? But thank you, guys. I mean, we had an absolute blast doing this live show, hanging out in D.C. And it is always a pleasure.
I want to thank you, Christian, for doing a lot of the legwork and making sure that this took place.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, I did do. I've never been more stressed in my life. On top of I had to move, worry about this and do all this other stuff. But it's incredibly fulfilling once it all comes together, man.
Yeah, I love working with you guys.
It's great. Is.
Do we read your iTunes reviews now?
Yeah.
I feel bad. Christian,
well, we haven't made him up this week yet, so we have nothing to read. No, I'm joking.
Christian, thank you very much for all the work that you did. It really was wonderful because I knew that I was not sending a lot of the emails and chasing up a lot of the people that you had to chase up and all the logistics you had to handle. So thank you. And Alexis, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Joe, okay. You're fine. No, but you're cool too.
Okay.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool.
So, thank you for listening. And again, make sure if you haven't listened to part one on the Total Soccer Show, listen to that because
sweat free.
Let's hope. If you did your editing right,
I'll
do this.
Yeah.
And you can listen to them on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. All right, so let's end the show the way we normally do. So
And you guys know what to do.
You guys know what to
also,
do.
Also, thanks to Elvis.
Oh yeah,
Elvis Romero
Elvis
sitting
from
in
on the Valley Apparel here, not snoring. We appreciate that.
I kept hitting his feet.
So that is a bad review, by the way.
Mostly not snoring.
My favorite review we've ever gotten was on the Total Soccer Show that just simply said, "No more Cooligans."
No more Cooligans.
Literally my favorite review
so
ever.
So that guy is pissed off about bar one.
So with that said, for Daryl Grove, for Taylor Rockwell, my name is Christian Polanco.
And for Elvis Romero, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together,
it's
what
Carreros,
are we?
Sir. Yeah. It's Carreros.
Together,
Alexis Carreros.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Sorry to the people downstairs.